Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance, and jam-packed we are. Scary injury news from the NBA. We will get to that. 15 days and counting to the NFL draft. We will start with that. A lot of baseball worth getting into this morning. It's all in the hopper. Let's go.
Here we go.
Only one place to start.
All right, our one place to start will be with the upcoming NFL draft, because the one, the only, Kimberly Martin, our NFL insider extraordinaire, good enough to hang out after we wrap up, get up this morning. And it, to me, it is a holiday because Mel Kiper has released a mock draft, and I consider those worthy of celebration. How are you, Kmart?
I am fantastic. We've had a lot of good hours together this morning.
By the way, Kmart, by the way, could anything be more Jets and Jets fan than Greeny celebrating the release of a mock draft? I mean, the Jets listen, are right now in the heart of their season.
This is when the Jets are at their best. They win the offseason like nobody's business.
Right.
And so let them have their moment.
We're not even always our best in the draft. We're in our best speculating about the draft. Like the pre-draft build-up is pretty much what I look forward to. But no, I mean, all kidding aside, and that's not where I plan to start, but the Jets have handled this offseason exactly right.
Oh, Joe Douglas gets an A.
They've done it right? They've done exactly what they have to do. And then he will get it wrong if he takes Brock Bowers, the tight end from Georgia. That is my belief. That's what Mel is projecting in the new mock draft. I've seen so many of them.
Yes.
And I get it. The kid's going to be a really good player. But the Jets are one offensive line injury away from their season being ruined again. Yep. And they have injury-prone offensive linemen across the board. Take more of those. Kmart, call Douglas and tell him to do it.
Hey, Joe. Yeah. You got me calling Joe Shane. You got me calling Joe Douglas this week. I agree with you, because Joe Douglas gets an A for making all the moves possible. But their entire season hinges on 40-year-old Achilles, late 30-year-old knees. Like, this is, and that's a problem across from the quarterback, across the offensive line. Honestly, this team, if healthy, could be special. But that if, it's huge, because you just don't know if their entire offensive line and Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy for 17 games.
Hembo, I've been using your line, something you said on this show, when people ask me about this all the time. I think it's the right way to frame it. It's not about whether Brock Bowers might be a really good player. Mm-hmm. It's not about whether or not he could help them. It's about the fact that their season will be neither made nor broken by how their tight ends play. That's not how this will get decided.
Yeah, that's right. Brock Bowers could make the Jets' offense a little better. I'm skeptical as to whether or not Nathaniel Hackett would have any idea how to use him, but that's a different discussion. I know for sure that the Jets' season could be completely scuttled by either offensive line play or injuries to that unit.
Yeah.
Kmart, that being said, they pick at 10. They don't pick again until 72 because the Packers have their two because of the Aaron Rodgers trade.
Yep.
And those are the only picks they have inside the top 100.
Right.
Do you think the Jets strike you as a potential trade down team based upon that?
Because they're definitely in this is our year, we got to do everything we can mode. Mm. Like, be aggressive. I do think trading down sometimes seems like, oh, that seems like the prudent, smart move. And I need them to be prudent at 10, as we're discussing with the offensive linemen. I think this is a team because right now they've got a lot of veterans. But what happens to the future? Like, this roster, they've got young skill players like a Garrett, like a Sauce, but they still could add depth at key areas. So I could see it happening, especially because they don't have a ton of picks early. I could see it. And I would applaud Joe Douglas if that were the case.
Well, so would I. Mel actually said on Get Up this morning that he just couldn't find a player that someone was going to trade up to get there. It's one thing to say, I want to trade back. It's another thing to have someone want to come up. If the three receivers are gone, then there probably isn't anyone sitting there that a team is going to race up to grab.
So you're telling me the three receivers are gone and four quarterbacks are gone?
I think so.
You think that's overwhelmingly likely at this
point?
Don't you,
Kmart?
Yeah.
Four quarterbacks gone?
Yeah.
Certainly by 10.
Yes.
How about when the Giants pick at 6? Will there be four quarterbacks gone then? Assuming it's the Giants who pick at 6?
Yeah.
When the 6th pick in the draft rolls around, whoever's making it at that point, will there be four quarterbacks gone already?
I think so. I think so, yes. Just because of the need.
And if one of them is still on the board, is it possible that one will be Drake May?
It's wild to listen, Greeny, go back and look at these drafts of recent history. Like, everyone who's picked at the top of the draft doesn't end up being the best quarterback. So So as much as people were raving about Drake May, like, feels like just yesterday, and now we're all raving about J.J. McCarthy. Yeah, I could see, because we know Caleb, we know Jaden. I think J.J.'s going to be the next one.
QB3.
I do.
Man.
I do. I mean, again, I am no Lou Riddick. I'm no, certainly no Mel Kiper. But yeah, it would not shock me. But again, these teams, there's so many teams that need quarterbacks. It's so subjective. It really is.
Well, the Bears at one are taking Caleb Williams. Yeah. Nothing left to talk about, right?
Right.
That'll make the guys in Chicago happy. Waddle and Sylvie had me on the other day and yelled at me, suggesting that I'm trying to maintain some drama in this because I'm trying to keep the ratings up.
So Chicago is sold. Like, mm-hmm. sold on Caleb Williams.
Well, those two guys definitely are. And I think by and large.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not talking about the team. I'm talking about the fan base.
That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Those two guys are. And I think if I'm a fan, what I want is for the team to be sold. Like, I want them to have made this decision because they have one person in mind. This is the guy we want, and he's our future. And we'll take the guy we decide we like the best. When you have the first pick, and you know you have the first pick, start, you know, from the middle of January, they've known they had the first pick. You want them to have known then who they were taking. Certainly when they made the decision to trade away Justin Fields, you wanted them to know who they were taking.
Mark, there was some talk for a while that Caleb might not be sold on them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you get the sense that has completely dissipated?
Completely dissipated. I do, again, written in erasable marker. Until draft day comes and I hear Caleb Williams and I see him walk out, you know, I feel like I've just seen so many crazy things. Like, I think it'll be fine. I think he'll end up in Chicago. I don't think he will try to pull or, you know, hey man, not me, don't pick me. I don't think so. Yeah, I think it's a lock that he's going to Chicago.
Okay. It's also a lock that you're going to Washington.
Yeah, baby.
That's your assignment for that night at number two. Have you already started contacting Jaden Daniels' family, prepare all your interviews, all that kind of stuff, or is there some doubt there?
There's a family reunion coming up I will be attending. No, that's a joke, people. No, I assume, and he's coming to visit very soon to Washington. Ms. Schefter reported yesterday. Everything, even talking to people in the league, always felt like Caleb will go one, Jaden's the next guy. And as we've talked on this show, some people think Jaden might end up being the best quarterback of this draft. That'll be interesting to watch. But I think Washington is fascinating because this is a new regime together with Dan Quinn and their new GM, Adam Peters. Adam Peters coming from San Francisco, the team that took Trey Lance when a lot of people thought they were taking Mac Jones. What is Adam Peters? What kind of quarterback does he like? Dan Quinn, now a head coach again. Who does he like? So I think it would have been interesting if, you know, the number two team had the top pick, like when you got all your options, who's the guy you really want? At two, you're taking the next best, but that might work out for him. Who knows?
I'm not asking this to build drama. I'm asking because I actually think this is, if not on the list of options, at least in the ether. Washington hired Cliff Kingsbury.
I know where you're going. I know. That's the question I always ask.
Can it happen? Could they move up to one and reunite him with Caleb Williams?
Hembo, I like the way your crazy mind works because that I've been like asking every GM and exec and scout I talk to, dude, it makes too much sense, man. Why you get Cliff Kingsbury knowing that Caleb's going to be? They always shoot me down. They always shoot me down like, you're nuts. The Bears are taking Caleb Williams. So, again, I'm not a football guy. But that's part of where the speculation that. So that's why until draft day comes and I hear, you know, the commissioner say Caleb Williams, Chicago Bears, all that. You know, I'm going to hold out hope for some drama.
All right. Greeny and Kmart is in our studio. Now, let's live in a world where we do go Caleb 1, Jaden 2. Mel's mock draft, again, released today, has the Patriots taking Drake May at 3. Is that... We do not bet on this stuff. Let me make it clear you're not betting on this stuff.
No.
Would you bet that's what happens?
Again, don't want to disagree with my main man, Mel, but... New England is interesting because you have a first-year head coach who's looking at a roster that definitely needs some upgrades at key positions. I've watched the Patriots struggle with their quarterbacks. They're at a position sort of like the Giants where it's like, you need an answer. Like, if you're going to take a QB, you need to know this is the guy for the future. There's so many questions about Drake May. I do wonder if that's the guy. I've heard the Patriots are also high on J.J. McCarthy. I do wonder, like, at that number three spot, to me, I wonder if it'll be Drake or if the Patriots kind of surprise us and say, no, wait, J.J.'s the guy we actually like.
Hmm. So you said there are so many questions about Drake May, which mm-hmm. is a fascinating thing to say because I see very few, but you talk to way more executives than I do. What are these questions?
Well, the question for me... Again, it's always subjective. So talking to guys about J.J. and Drake, it's sort of like with J.J. McCarthy, they always say, oh, winning pedigree. Like, but then you counter with, he wasn't asked to do a lot. So they're all projecting. I think the eyes are a funny thing when it comes to scouting in the NFL because you will see what you want. And with Drake, it's guys will say like, oh, he's got it. We talk about the Josh Allen factor, mm-hmm. right? Some guys are like, oh, I don't know. Like, you know, they bring up accuracy. They say, like, is this a guy that we feel like can be a competitor, win every down? And again, even within a building, there isn't a consensus. Not everybody in Washington. I'm sure there are people in, and I'm not reporting this, but just I'm sure there are people in Chicago that are like, you know what, Caleb's great. We'd be fine with Jaden too. You know, like in Washington, I'm sure people are like, Jaden's great. In every building. There's not 100% consensus on QBs because everybody likes a different style of quarterback. And some people rate the intangibles over like, oh, he's got a strong arm. Some people are like, hey, he's got a cannon. Let's go.
Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. See why over 28 million drivers trust Progressive to stay protected on the road. See for yourself at progressive.com. One more for you, Kmart. By the time we finish Thursday night.
Yes.
32 picks, one round.
Yes.
Will there have been 4, 5, or 6 quarterbacks drafted? Mel is projecting only 4. That surprised me.
No, I would say at least 5. I think we're going to see a Bo Nix.
How about Michael Penix?
So I love Michael Penix. I get it. I get the medical. I get if you're a team. Like, to me, a Seattle, an LA, a team that's got a guy where you don't need him to start right away. But I am really high on Michael Penix. I don't know if teams are high enough to jump back in the first round to pick him up, but I think at least 5, just because so many teams need quarterbacks, and it'll make you do some funky things. Mm-hmm. It'll make you do some funky things.
Oh, you mentioned Seattle. I want to get this note in because I think it could be very instructive. Seattle has a new offensive coordinator. His name is Ryan Grubb. Greeny, you knew who he was the OC of
Hello.
University of Washington.
Let's go. If
we'll know everything we need to know about what he thinks of Michael Penix as a pro at pick whatever, where were they at here? They pick at 16, so that might mm-hmm. be awfully
See, that's
high.
The point
that might be awfully high.
You got to marry the spot and the player.
Right.
Look, are the Raiders going to let this draft go by and they're not moving up there? Are they not doing something?
Listen, the Vikings are the team that I've heard are most aggressive in working these phones to move up before the draft
starts.
The Raiders
sitting at 13 couldn't take Bo Nix? They couldn't take Michael Penix?
Yeah, they could. The question for me, it's sort of like, I hate when teams just take a guy because it's like, oh, we need a quarterback, let's take it. If you love him, go get him. If you're not sure, then I'm good with you saying, I don't want to be convinced into taking Michael Penix if I don't know, or Bo Nix. Go after the guy that you are 100% on board with.
I guess, yes, I agree with that. The flip side of it is I don't want to wait for the second round to get someone that I think could be my quarterback for the next 10 years because you're giving every team in the league a chance. To beat you to the punch. So that's the beauty of this thing. And that's why these people who make these decisions get fired all the time because they get judged based on the results.
Yep.
We just get to sit here and have fun looking ahead to it. Kmart, you are the best. No one is more fun than you are. In meantime, coming up next, we had a terrifying moment last night, and we'll tell you what exactly it means right after this on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Greeny, the podcast. Greeny.
Over the last few years, I have really enjoyed watching Joey Molinaro doing his impressions. He does a ton of sports impressions. You're heartbroken, I know, because you love Purdue. So how would Gus have summed up the terrible disappointment but a terrific season for the Boilermakers?
Oh, wow! Zach, eat it! Not enough! UConn Huskies! Bringing the heat in Arizona.
This is Greeny.
That was really fun yesterday. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. We had Joey Molinaro on, and we were talking about his tour. He's doing what he's calling the NFC North tour, going to a bunch of the cities in the NFC North. You can go to his website, and you can find all the information on it. He is a very, very funny, very talented impressionist. I'm always blown away by that talent. Like, and it sort of got us into a conversation late in the show yesterday about what talent you would most like to have. And Hembo, because he is this way, started the question by saying, what superpower would you like to have? So I said, I'd like to be able to fly. Ugh. And then, of course, he said, no, I don't mean that. And so, of course, what we're not talking about is a superpower. We're talking about...
Not technically.
A talent. No, not in any way. Like, the ability to do impressions talent is not...
Why are we splitting hairs? Like, there's no reason to split hairs.
Because no...
It was obvious what I meant.
No, because, like, Superman doesn't do impressions of people. If Superman was on, I wouldn't ask him to do his Gus Johnson.
Okay, I bet he'd have a good one, though.
He might.
You know, Cam, we learned, has a great John Madden.
Cam. Very good. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, here we go. Well, Brett Favre.
It's the worst imitation I've ever heard in my life.
No, come on.
That's all that you say.
Have you heard Hembo's Quagmire?
Is Brett Favre.
I think Hembo's is better than that.
Let me hear your Quagmire.
This is super uncomfortable. Giggity, 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 gig, god day.
That's way better. I don't even know what Cam
But which one would you rather listen to?
Yeah, I'd rather listen to Cam's. Because I might not know who he's doing, but it wouldn't give me a headache. And that's what Hembo's just did. I have a pain now directly behind my right eye that I have a suspicion is not going to go away for a while.
Giggity.
That said, if you, Bubba, Brendan Bubba Peregrine,
yeah,
could have one talent, like not a superpower.
Right, sure.
But a talent. Impressions, yeah, or whatever it might be. What would it be? What would you choose to be able to do so well that people would love to see or hear you do it?
I think it would be singing for sure, because I think being a singer and even to be in a band or to be a front man in a band, a rock band, if you will, would just be awesome. I think to have the ability to do that and to lead a band and have the ability to sing, I think is a really special talent. So I would love to have that.
Yeah, you could have just said sing. I mean, we all understand what the possibilities become if you can sing. Like, I'm not offering.
Well, I don't
want
to give a one word answer.
Well,
I'm
not offering you the option of being Mick Jagger. I'm just asking if you could have one talent in your own.
Well,
life.
I think if I have that talent, next thing, I mean, I will be the next Mick Jagger.
Well, I could see that happening, but in the unlikely event, how about an actual superpower, Cam? If I gave you, you said you could have an actual superpower, which one would you choose?
Probably teleportation, because there are times when I'm coming home from a trip and I just want to be home. I just flew back from Ohio this past weekend, and it just the travel ahead of you is just such a pain, and you're just like constantly thinking about, oh, and then I have to transfer this plane. So if I could just snap my fingers and the Wizard of Oz, Dorothy, heel click, there's no place like home, and then I'm home, that would be great.
What do you think of that? I actually would like that.
I would like to have...
But if you could fly, you probably could do that anyway.
I would love to have an eidetic memory.
A what?
An eidetic memory.
Eidetic?
Yeah, it's like the ability to memorize anything upon seeing it once and just have it remain in your brain until the end of time. An eidetic memory.
Do people have that?
Yeah, it's another way that people would say
it. There has to be some limitation.
It's basically just saying a photographic memory, but he just has to say it differently for no reason.
Photographic memory would be a shorthand version of that, but that would be my superpower. I'd love to be able to like read a
photographic
book.
Photographic memory would actually
longer.
Be a longhand version of that. But at least it would be one everyone would understand. Like, everyone knows what a photographic memory is.
You didn't know what I meant when I said eidetic?
No, I don't even think you just remembered what it was when you just tried to say it a second time.
Why not?
I don't know, because you sort of paused on it in a
weird way. Well, I was trying to make sure that I pronounced it properly, that you understood, because it seems to be a little above your pay grade.
I just don't think that's a term that anyone in America... Yeah, first of all,
that's
it's
certainly
definitely
not the right
above
term.
My pay grade. Second of all, I don't think that's a term that... anyone in America has used today. Like, you'll be the first person today to have said that.
Eidetic memory, the ability to recall an image from memory with high precision.
How are you spelling that?
It's E-I-D-E-T-I-C. Eidetic.
Okay. I'm really sorry I went down this path. Let's get to the Giannis injury. After I remind you that AutoZone, dealing with a dead battery, head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing, free battery charging. Help you know if you need a new battery or not. And if you do need one, they can help with that too. They're the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries. So next time you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution and America's number one battery destination.
The Scoop.
All right, the news is good on Giannis. By now, you've probably seen what happened in the game last night. Bucks, Celtics, in a game that you might have thought, oh, what a game. The number one team versus the number two team in the East. Well, the Celtics have already wrapped up everything there is to be wrapped up. They played so hard last night that they became the first team in NBA history to not attempt a single free throw in the entire game. Let me say that again. They played an entire NBA game last night, and the Boston Celtics did not shoot a free throw. They are the first team in NBA history to attempt zero free throws in a game. The Bucks, by the way, attempted two combined free throw attempts are also the fewest in a game in NBA history. So one could argue that the Celtics and Bucks played each other last night and played less hard than any team in NBA history has ever played. How many free throws were attempted in the All-Star game? I'm just wondering.
Oh, great question.
Can someone look that up? Because all anyone did was complain about the All-Star game. The All-Star game is so terrible. The players aren't playing hard. We need to get rid of the All-Star game, change the All-Star game, make up a different game. Did they shoot more than two free throws?
So it looks to me like there was one taken in the West. It was Paul George went one of one, and Giannis went one of two, and Tyrese Maxey went three of four. They were a total of six, or excuse me, of five.
There were
five free throw attempts in the All-Star game.
I think you just said more than five.
No, I didn't.
How many did Tyrese Maxey
Tyrese Maxey was two for two.
Two for two.
So I thought you said three for four.
He definitely said three.
Three
for
of four for the West. Three or four for the East in total.
Well, whatever. The point is...
he said it completely wrong.
It was
the
more.
All-Star game.
I don't have an eidetic memory. That's the problem.
The All-Star game... the world lined up after the All-Star game to say we must do away with this activity that has been going on for, I don't know, 60 years. But last night in a game that counted in the standings, the teams combined for fewer foul shots. But let's not get sidetracked into that because Giannis gets hurt. And he goes down non-contact injury holding the left calf. Now you might say to yourself, the news is great. Woj tweeted this morning right before we went on TV. After an MRI, Giannis's left Achilles tendon is fully intact, and his return to play will come with how quickly his left calf strain heals. Obviously, that is in and of itself good news. But when I tell you that on March 3rd, Giannis missed a game with left Achilles tendonitis, that on March 17th, he missed two games with left hamstring soreness, that on April 5th, he entered the game with left hamstring tendinopathy and missed a game, and then last night suffered a left calf strain that caused him to fall untouched and then very gingerly walk off the court and into the locker room. I would say that this feels eerily similar, terrifyingly similar to what I remember being the buildup to one of the really cataclysmic, from a sports perspective, events of recent memory, which was the Kevin Durant situation in the NBA Finals. Kevin Durant was hurt. The Warriors doctors told him, there is no way you can make this worse. If you can play through the pain, you can do it. And because that was made public, Durant was shamed into playing. He basically, people made it seem like he wasn't tough. He went out there and played in the NBA Finals and immediately tore his Achilles and missed an entire NBA season. And on some level, his career has never been the same. So I don't even like putting that out into the ether, putting that out into the universe by saying it aloud. But if you just go to the tweet or the Instagram post that Woj has announcing the diagnosis, you will see every reaction is that. KD, 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 KD. So what does that mean? I don't know, Hembo, but this is, we're getting into a dicey place.
Yes, if the Bucks were humming right now, this would be merely problematic. But the Bucks are doing the very opposite. They've lost more games than they've won since they've inexplicably fired their coach and even more inexplicably hired Doc Rivers to be their coach. They're 16-17 over that span. They're an average offensive team, they're an average defensive team, and they're terrible in clutch games. They're playing about as badly as you could expect a team that has that much talent to play. The timing of this could not possibly be worse from that standpoint. However, this will provide Doc his get-out-of-jail-free card when this team inevitably falls short in the playoffs, which I think is looking eminently more likely, and that was before Giannis hurt himself. And if you look at the standings right now, there's a really good chance they'll fall a bunch, and that might actually help them.
Yeah.
So they're 14 games behind Boston. They're only a game up on the Knicks and two games up on Orlando, who they still play twice, and Cleveland. Only 2.5 games above Indiana. So a lot could still happen. If you, let's say, pencil in three losses to finish out their season, they might wind up being the 4 seed playing Cleveland in round one, which is a much easier on-ramp than, say, playing Philly if they stay the 2 seed.
Yeah, but the problem is that it puts Boston in the second round. So the best spot to be is 3. 3 in the first round, you get Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Then you avoid Boston at all costs.
You think they beat Indiana for sure?
No, I don't think they beat anybody for sure. But I give them a much better chance of beating Indiana in the first round than Boston in the second.
That's true.
Now, and I give them a much better chance of beating Indiana in the first round than Philly.
That's true, too.
Which is the nightmare scenario. The worst spot for them to wind up, I think... Well, the worst spot, it depends what you're looking for. If you just want to make sure you don't get knocked out in the first round, that's one thing. If you're looking to make a run at least to the conference final and then take your shot, you got to keep Boston on the other side. So you got to be 2 or 3. You can't let yourself be 4 or 5.
Your vision, your version of the Bucks is loftier than mine. I don't think this team is any good right now. We have a pretty large sample size that says as much. Philly is 30-8. When Joel Embiid plays this season, they have a scoring margin in those games equivalent to being the second best team in the NBA. You've been saying all along, it's Boston and then it's Philly with Embiid. Obviously, if there is any way you can avoid them, you do it. I don't think the Bucks are good enough to start worrying about who they might play in the conference finals. I'm not sure I'd favor them over anybody.
But we're saying, okay, but my point is we're saying the same thing. You want to avoid Philly and Boston. 3 is the way to do that because Philly is most likely going to come out of the play-in, so they're going to be 7. So you don't want to be 2 because you don't want to play them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're 3, you still don't play. You don't play them, and you don't have Boston on your side of the bracket. 3 is the ideal spot to be. If you're 4, you get. Let's even call it a 50-50 series in round one, and then you've got Boston next. So the best spot to be is 3. Right now, the Knicks are 3. If you're the Knicks and you could freeze it, right there. That's where you want.
That's what you want. But Orlando still gets to play the Bucks probably shorthanded twice. So they would then have the tiebreaker if they wind up having the same record. Right now, again, they're two games behind. So I think Milwaukee could try and win all the rest of their games and go 0-3, of course, and wind up the four seed. I would give them a pretty good chance to beat Cleveland in round one, but they would get obliterated. They would get swept by Boston in round two.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they might get swept by Boston in round three, and they might get swept by Philly in round one. So, but all those things, to me, are one thing. That's the struggles of the Bucks. You're assuming that Giannis comes back and plays. Like, Giannis with a bad left calf strain and that injury history, a week and a half from now is going to go out there and play in playoff games? So the season ends Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
The first round won't begin until the following weekend, right? You got play-in. When is the first playoff? I would have, you know, I'm not doing countdown anymore, so I don't have this in my head. The play-in.
April 16th are the play-in.
Which is what day?
Tuesday. A week from yesterday. It's Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's the play-in. I got that. But they're not going to be in there.
The playoffs next Saturday, the 20th.
Right. It's Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Friday are the play-ins, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same as it's always been. So Milwaukee, by not having to play a play-in team, is going to get scheduled for that first Saturday. So that is 10 days from now. They're going to wind up – they would have – 10 days from right now, is Giannis ready to go out there and play – an NBA playoff game.
I mean, Giannis plays. Like, Giannis is going to play if a doctor tells him he can't.
So did Kevin Durant.
Yeah, and it was
And clearly, he was a warrior, literally and figuratively.
No, you're making great points.
And the next thing you knew, they were carrying him off the court.
I mean, you got to remember, too, Giannis was hurt in game one of the series last year against Miami, and they were never the same. And they basically folded after that. He missed the next two games, finished the series, but they still lost in five.
Refresh my memory. Giannis got hurt in the playoffs the year they won the championship. He missed multiple games in the playoffs. Didn't they beat Atlanta without him? And then
that
didn't
I have to
he
look
miss
up.
A game or two in the finals against Phoenix?
No.
He missed the game against
Phoenix?
They
I should remember
that. They went down 2-0 and then came back and won the series. And I want to say he missed games. This was during like the COVID weird year. So
you're right. You are right. He missed two games against Atlanta. He missed games 5 and 6
which
against
Atlanta.
Which is
when Atlanta, they won it.
They which is when
it.
They clinched
played
it.
Every game in the finals,
hurt.
Though.
Trae Young hurt himself stepping on a ref. Right? I mean, I'm just trying to remember all.
You
this.
You have an eidetic memory. That's a much better pull than
and
I
then
would have.
Did he play game one of the finals?
Yeah, he played the remainder of the. Of the postseason.
He had a bad game one, though.
Yeah.
So he came back but didn't play well.
Yeah.
Okay. Either way, the point of it is Giannis is hurt, and of all the teams that could not afford to have anything like that happen, I think the point has been made that team is Milwaukee. A bunch of other stuff we want to get to this morning. But we had an epic trivia on Get Up today. We'll run through the details of that in a moment, but let's hear today's question here on radio.
Who is the last player to win MVP of the NBA as a 30-something, the last NBA MVP to win it in his 30s? That's the question.
It's a great one, and the answer is next on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Greeny, the podcast.
All right, Greeny, with you on ESPN Radio, live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. If Bubba had his way, he'd be singing this song right now. He said his preferred talent would be the ability to sing, because he'd like to be the lead singer of a rock band. And there's probably never been a better one than this one, Mick Jagger. In the meantime, Hembo and Trivia. So he had a great trivia question on TV, guys. I assume you saw it. Bubba and Cam, did you see it?
We did, and we got it right.
We got it right.
Wow.
You guys got it right?
Yeah, wow. We were proud of ourselves.
Team effort, we got it together.
It's a great question. The question was, which is the only team to draft three quarterbacks in the Super Bowl era, in the common draft era, who wound up winning Super Bowls? And the answer was phenomenal, because it was Tampa, and none of them wound up winning it with the Bucks. It was Doug Williams, Trent Dilfer, and Steve Young. Hembo, where'd that question come from? Because that's a great question.
I don't recall why I looked it up, but I do think it was even extra sneaky, considering Steve Young was a supplemental pick.
Right.
It had all sorts of layers of sneaky, and it had Lewis Riddick, of all people, twisted in knots on live television.
Well, he was sure it was the Giants, because he forgot that they didn't draft Eli. They got Eli 15 minutes after he was drafted.
That's right. And Philip Rivers never won a Super Bowl.
And Philip Rivers didn't win a Super Bowl. So, okay. Anyway, today's radio question is another good one. Go.
Who was the last player to win MVP of the NBA in his 30s?
Okay. So I'm going to go first, because I'm using mine to make a statement. I'm using my answer to make a point. It's probably not right. There is no question that in his 30s, LeBron James has, on multiple occasions, been the most valuable player in the NBA. They just probably haven't given him the award. Now, I know the last 5 years, the MVPs have been Embiid, Jokic twice, and Giannis twice. And none of them would have been 30. So the idea that LeBron, I don't know if he's won one in his 30s. He probably hasn't. This probably goes back to someone like and these guys will give their answers. Maybe it goes back to Kobe. Maybe it goes back to Steve Nash. I don't know who it goes to, and I don't care. The answer should be LeBron James, because he 100% has been the MVP of the league in his 30s, and they just didn't give him the award. So I will gladly take the L to make that statement. Bubba, who you got?
That's a good statement guess right there. I thought about LeBron. I'm going to go further back in case it's not LeBron. I'm going to go with Karl Malone.
Karl Malone is going way back. Cam?
Yeah, I'm going with Steve Nash. I'm hoping one of those was in his 30s. I think it was, and I don't think it's happened since, but I definitely could be wrong there. I'm going Nash.
And what do these guys have?
Jack is also going Steve Nash, while Brandon is going Kobe Bryant.
And?
The correct answer is Steve Nash.
Yeah. Woo.
Nice.
Jack, go, Jack.
And Cam. When was LeBron's last MVP?
LeBron won his last MVP in his age 28 season, 2013.
That's so long ago.
And that would have been Miami still, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he comes back to Cleveland. He takes over a Cavs team that had the worst record in the NBA and takes them to the finals in four consecutive seasons. And in none of them was he the most valuable player in the league.
Well, according to the voters.
What a disgrace. Yeah. Who was?
So
did you look that up for me?
Yeah, of course.
Who were the MVPs those years?
We went, after LeBron went back-to-back in Miami, we went KD, Steph, Russell Westbrook, the year he averaged a triple-double.
Right.
Then James Harden, and then the Giannis,
the
Jokic, and Embiid.
Yeah. It's just terrible.
It's insane.
That's why I refuse to allow this to be a narrative award.
So, like, if you think Jokic is the MVP this year, you're just going to vote for him. Regardless of any narrative-driven things that people are going to throw into the pot, right?
Yeah, yes. I'm going to vote for whoever I think is the MVP.
Regardless of prior history.
If OKC winds up in the one spot, what SGA has done this year is so unbelievable. I think it's getting a little bit of short shrift. So I'm going to consider that. Anyway, we'll come back to that. One way or another, it's a good trivia question. We'll have another one a little bit later this morning. In the meantime, question of the day.
You ask these questions.
Greeny's question of the day.
You know, I'm not the most social person, but there are certain invitations that I enjoy and that I would love. The one I would most crave, the one event on planet Earth I would most like to choose, is one to which I will definitely never be invited. The Tuesday night of Masters Week at Augusta National, they have the Champions Dinner. And every year, the defending champion gets to pick the menu. John Rahm this year, a variety of magnificent-sounding Spanish dishes. And all of them get together in their green jackets, guys as old as Gary Player and Ray Floyd and Jack Nicklaus in that picture, and guys, you know, in their 20s and 30s, and they're all in those jackets, and they take those photos, and they're, and I sit there and stare at them, and I would give anything to be in that room. Obviously, I'll never earn my way in. I'm not winning the Masters. I'd give anything to be a fly on the wall, but I just respect the tradition that no one else is allowed in the room. So I love it. But it is always a fun question. We've done this on the radio. It actually is where the legend of the Caprese salad was born on Mike and Mike. If you won the Masters and you got to choose the menu, design the menu, anything you want for the following year's Champions Dinner, what would you serve? So I'm just looking at Jon Rahm's menu from last night. He started with like a tapas platter, so a variety of different Spanish dishes, some tortilla and iberon, which is ham, and anyway, a variety of Spanish type appetizers, and then a Basque crab salad, and then a choice for your main course of either a turbo, which is a fish, or a Basque ribeye steak. So just a wonderful Spanish feast, you know, and paying tribute to his Spanish heritage. If you, Bubba Peregrin, won the Masters, what is one item that would absolutely have to be on the menu the following year? Now, I'm going to go through the whole thing.
Sure.
One item that absolutely has to be on the menu the following year.
I'd say chicken parm.
Okay.
No tacos?
Chicken parm.
Why did that elicit a laughter out of you?
I don't know. It just, I mean, of all the it's nothing wrong with it, I suppose.
No. I mean,
it's your favorite dish. What you're
chuckle.
Saying is your favorite food is chicken parm.
I'd say that or tacos, honestly. But
I mean, it isn't particular to you in any way.
I figured
way,
tacos would be, you know, I figured chicken parm would be better for everyone to have and more of a formal situation for the Masters.
You can have
dinner.
Past tacos as a first course.
Yeah, so we'll get tacos and chicken
what
parm.
What a sense of adventure you have.
Yeah, that's a great, I like that choice. Cam, what would be the one item that would have to be on your menu?
Escargot.
Seriously?
Yeah, I love escargot.
Do you really?
I've never had escargot.
I had some of the greatest escargot at a restaurant in Princeton, New Jersey that unfortunately I don't remember the name of this past year. And
story.
It was incredible.
Wow.
I'll look it up.
To be there.
But it was amazing.
Boy, I had the greatest snails ever in Princeton, New Jersey. Don't remember the name of the place.
It's going on the menu.
Hembo. Wow.
My favorite food is called moulachie. Moulachie is an Egyptian soup in which the broth is chicken broth with like this with a lot of rice inside and then like very finely chopped up spinach served with a sauce of like apple cider vinegar and heavily salted. Moulachie.
Here's why I kind of like that choice, because it is specific to you, right? It has to do with your father's heritage, your heritage. I assume that is a traditional dish.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, my mother never had that in Toledo.
So that's what I mean. So I like that. And that was, we had this conversation, well, I think we did this conversation on Mike and Mike every year. But one year I said, well, I would have to have the Caprese salad.
Of course.
And that's how the legend of the Caprese, because it was not only Golic, but it was Damian Woody and Lomas Brown were on with us as well, which was like 800 pounds worth of man. And the mocking that I took for including a Caprese or any salad was scarring. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcasts.